did the live stream this morning, and for those who may not have seen it, I preached this morning on you ought to believe the Bible like the Apostle Paul. So last Sunday evening, I preached that you ought to believe the Bible like Jesus, and showed from the Scripture what Jesus thought about the Bible. He believed it was true, literally true. He believed it was authoritative. He believed it was the ground. It was the Word of God. And if you go through Paul's life, you'll see what Paul believes about the Bible. He believed the Bible was the Word of God. He believed that what was written in the Old Testament was Scripture, and it was God's Word. And what was written in the New Testament, even his own writings, was God's Word. That it was authored by God, inspired by God, authored by the Spirit. It's a spiritual book, understood the Spirit. Paul believed that the Bible was probable and practical for God's people to know what God wants us to do, for obedience in the faith, to be read and preached in the church. That it was the Word of God, and it was authoritative in the Word of God, or as the Word of God in our lives. And so this evening what I want to do is look at the Apostle Peter. And I want to see how Peter viewed the Scriptures. And I think this is helpful for us to sort of get settled in our mind how it is that we ought to view the Scripture. So we as followers of Jesus ought to believe the Bible like Jesus believed the Bible. Which was, it is true, it is literal that the histories are true. The prophecies are true. The commands are authoritative. We ought to believe the Bible like Paul believed the Bible, that it was inspired, that it is the Word of God, that if the Bible says it, then it means that God has said it. We also need to believe the Bible like Peter believed it. They're not three different methods, but we do see various things that they say about the Scriptures that give us a little more understanding on how we ought to view the Scriptures. So we ought not to be more sophisticated in our view of Scripture than our Lord Jesus Christ or the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter. So let's look and see how Peter handled the Bible, and then that will tell us how what he thought about the Bible. First of all, in Acts 1 in verse 15, it says, "In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." So the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He was dwelt among them for a period of time and now has ascended to the right hand of the Father. And the church was meeting here. And so you had 120 of the disciples who had met together, and Peter stands up in the midst of them, and he has something to say. And what's the first thing that Peter says? "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs." So the very first thing Peter does in this assembly to address them and address their situation was go to the scripture. Peter didn't stand up and say, "The Lord has made me the Pope, and whatever I say goes. The Lord put me in charge, so now you're going to listen to what I have to say." In fact, he stands up and he reads the Bible. And first, he explains what's happening according to the Scripture. This Scripture must needs fulfill. We used to be 12 apostles, now we're 11, because the Scripture must needs be fulfilled. So he stood before the church and said, "This is the situation that we are in." And he goes on, "For he was numbered with us and had obtained a part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called Akelmanda," that is to say, the field of blood. "For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his vicious prick let another take.' Wherefore these men, which have company with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went out and among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." So the church here didn't know what to do. The Lord had ascended on high. And what do you do next? Because previously Jesus told them what to do, but the Jesus wasn't with them bodily anymore. So what does Peter do? Men and brethren, this is what the Bible says. The scripture says this is why this happened with Judas. The scriptures foretold that this was going to happen. And now the scripture tells us that his bishopric another shall take. So he opens the Bible and says, all right, church, this is what we must do. The Bible is telling us why we're in this situation. And now the Bible is telling us what we need to do about this situation. So Peter believed the Bible. He believed the Bible to be true. And he believed the Bible to be authoritative. He didn't rest upon his opinion, but he rested upon the Word of God. Now, I've read commentaries where they said that Peter was wrong. They said, what, that Peter misapplied the scriptures and the church shouldn't have replaced Judas, and this was all incorrect. Well, they had a different view of scripture. They had a different view of what should have happened than Peter did. Because Peter said, this is what the Bible says, and this is what the Bible says we ought to do, and let's do that. So, this is Peter's attitude towards the Bible. He believes it. He believes what it says, and he believes it is sufficient and authoritative in not only his life, but the life of the church to guide the Lord's church into what they ought to do. And so, he brought this before the church. Notice that he didn't say, this is what we're going to do, but he stood up and said, this is what the Bible says, and this is what the Bible says we should do. And then it says that they prayed, and then they appointed two, and then it was the church that came together on this. So Peter believed that the Bible was the authoritative, sufficient guide of the church to follow the Lord after his ascending on high. So that's how we ought to believe the Bible. That's how we ought to look at the Bible. The Bible guides us on how we ought to serve the Lord in this church. Peter believed that the Bible was true, and not just in things concerning the church, but things concerning in the world. He believed the Bible was true, and therefore he could talk to unbelievers about the things of the Bible in the second chapter of Acts, in verse 14. So this is where they started speaking, and every man was hearing in their own tongue. So, you know, whether they were from Mesopotamia or Pontus or Judea or Egypt, didn't matter where they were from. The Arabians, the Cretes, they all spake in their own language, but they could hear in their own language. And they were amazed. And verse 13 said, others mocking say, these men are full of new wine. So there's a bunch of unbelievers not understanding what's happening and mocking and laughing at the church of the Lord. Now, Peter at this point could have become bashful, and he could have tried to talk to them about something in common and find some common ground outside of religion to talk it down. Well, we're not drunk. We don't drink this early in the morning. You know, they could have done all kinds of different things such as that. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he goes on to read the prophecy in verse 17 and 18, or 17 through 21, actually. He starts to quote the Bible. Now, this is not the way some people will tell you to talk to the unsaved people. Well, first you got to become friend, build a friendship, and then build a relationship. And then once you have that relationship, then you can start talking about spiritual things, and then last of all, bring the Bible to bear. Well, Peter believed that the Word of God was true. And he believed it was true. And since it was true, that was the grounds by which he could interact with these people who were mocking the Lord. You say, well, why would you go to the Bible? Why would you use the Bible for people who are mocking Bible believers? Well, Peter believed that what the Bible said was the truth. And the question is, why would you try to engage in something that wasn't true, or set the truth aside and try to engage the mocking unbelievers somewhere in some other means? Peter says, no, the Bible is true. I believe it's true. And so if they want an explanation, I'm going to give them the truth. And what better way to give them the truth than to quote what the Bible says about it? So Peter believed the Bible was true, and that's what he used for his apologetics. That was his answer. You know, Peter does tell us that in his epistle to be ready to give an answer to any man that asks us for the hope that is within us. And Peter was ready to give an answer. As he was guided by the Holy Spirit, his mind was brought to this passage. And so what was the answer for the hope that was within them? Well, this is what the Bible said. The Scriptures must be fulfilled. So it's true for apologetics. So we need to believe the Bible in that regard. So if something comes up in a topic of conversation and somebody brings something to bear about even the weather or, you know, the... you could be anything, politics, sports, anything that you could give the answer according to the truth of the Scripture, right? That what the Bible says about a particular topic, the leader's, the king's heart is in the Lord's hands. That type of thing. The Lord is in control of the weather. You know, all these types of things, we can bring the Bible to bear upon that and believe it and know it is true. So that's Peter believed the Bible was true, so much so that he was confident in talking to unbelievers about that and using that as his proof and answer for things in the world. He believed the Bible was true, so he preached from the Bible. So in verse 21 of that same chapter, and he says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden to it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I shall not be moved." And so, what's Peter do? He's preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he goes back to the Scriptures. He goes back to a passage of Psalms that foretold of this very situation. And so, when Peter preached, he went to the Word of God, because he believed it. You know, it's not just a mere tradition that we come here and read the Bible. And then it's not a tradition that we come and preach the Bible. We were kind of talking about that on the way over here, that 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon is an odd time for us to have the first service on a Sunday. But what's wrong with that? You know, we're used to having things at certain times on the Lord's Day, but the Bible doesn't say what time we have to meet on the Lord's Day. That these things are left to our discretion, but we get used to these certain things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But my point is, I don't preach just because that's just the way it's always been done, and I don't read the Bible just because that's the way it's always been done. I preach from the Word of God because it is God's Word, and I preach from the Bible, and I read the Bible because that is truth. We believe that this is truth. And why do we want to hear from anything else? Why do we want to hear from any other source other than what we know to be true and what we know to be right? And so when Peter was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, why would he go to any other source other than what he knew was true and was infallible and inerrant? So Peter preached from the Bible because he believed the Bible to be true. And that's how we ought to look at the Scripture. To believe it is authoritative for the church. It is authoritative and true, so we can use it for talking to lost people. We can use it in preaching the Word of God. We can use it talking to one another. Because Peter believed that the Bible was able to comfort us as God's people. So he looked to the Bible as God comforting his people. So let's look in 1 Peter chapter number 1. So when Peter read his Bible and encouraged others to read their Bibles, he wanted them to read their Bibles believing that God would comfort his people. So we'll read verses 6 through 12. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season if need be, you are in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and the glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom not, and though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And so what we have here is the saints of God were scattered abroad through various persecutions and trials and heaviness and sorrows and manifold temptations. And they have all this tribulation going on in their life. And so what does Peter do? He points them to the truth of the Word of God, to which the prophets inquired and searched diligently into. And what were they searching? They were searching their own writings. They were searching the Scripture beforehand. And Peter said that which they wrote about, and that was which they searched for, being the sufferings of Christ that had followed, it was revealed unto you. Not unto them, but unto you. So you and I know what Isaiah meant when he penned Isaiah 53. Even though he searched diligently to see the best he could through the prophecies, the truth thereof, we know exactly what that's referring to. And so Peter says this is for us, that which are reported to us by them that has preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So this is comfort for us who are in heaviness and manifold temptations. You know, the Bible tells us the truth about many things, and there's doctrines and prophecies and so forth, but in this regard, in this context, in this message Peter was telling them, he was saying, those Old Testament passages about Jesus, they're for your comfort and for your the encouragement of your faith. And sometimes we might look at the Old Testament passages and try to figure them out, or look at them as part of a doctrinal scheme or plan, and maybe not just stop and remember, well, this was for my comfort, for my encouragement, to increase my faith, to give me joy unspeakable and full of glory. So Peter, when he read the Bible, he looked for the comfort of the Scriptures, the consolation of God in these passages of Scripture. So he looked to apply doctrinal truths to his soul. And you know, that's a good thing for us to do, is to apply the Scriptures. Not just know the doctrine, but apply the truth to our hearts. And yet you can read in the Old Testament and see, yes, it was prophesied that the Lord Jesus would die upon a cross. And you could dig into Psalm 22 and look into the very specific ways that prophecy was fulfilled. But you can read that and apply those truths to your soul. Oh, what the Lord did for me. What Jesus did for me on that cross. How he loved me. And I didn't deserve that love. How I betrayed him, and yet he loved me so. So Peter said, look at the Bible and believe it for comfort for your own soul. Believe it and know that it's authoritative for us. In verse 16 of 1 Peter 1, Peter says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So he's referring back to being obedient children, not following after the old lust, but be obedient children, because the Scriptures say, be holy, for I am holy. The Scriptures, the Old Testament, commanded the Israelites to be holy because God was holy. And what does Peter say? Well, Peter believes the Old Testament scriptures because he said, you do the same. You believe what Leviticus 11 says. Right? Peter says, Leviticus said, be holy, for I am holy. And I'm telling you, as Christians, be holy, for God is holy. So, Peter didn't say, well, that was Leviticus, and we don't have to be holy anymore. No, he believed the Old Testament. And he believed it was authoritative for us. And, you know, as I've said in the last two messages, you know, the Bible tells us what the law is for the Christian and how we're to look at the law. But, you know, we compare Scripture with Scripture, and Peter is telling us what to do with that verse in Leviticus, to be holy as he is holy. He believed it was the Word of God. So look down verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and is the glory of man the flower of grass. The grass which withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. So Peter believed that the scriptures were God's word. So you know what he was quoting from? He's quoting from Isaiah. And Isaiah penned that. But Peter said that's the word of God. But something else interesting here that he said, and this is the word which by which the gospel was preached unto you. And so the word that the gospel was preached unto the people of God by the gospels and by the epistles is also the word of God. The word which was preached unto you, Peter says, is just like the Old Testament, which is the word of God, which abideth forever. So Peter believed that we are to obey the truth, as it said. The Bible is to be obeyed. It is to be believed. It is incorruptible. It is enduring. The grass comes and goes. The flowers come and go. But the word of God abides forever. Men come and go. The glory of men comes and go. But the word of God abides forever. And this word, which was preached unto you, abides forever. It too is incorruptible. It too will not fade away. It too is the means by which the Holy Spirit gives life unto the sinner. So that's what Peter believed about the Bible. Why did he preach the Bible? Why did he tell sinners about the Bible? Because it was the incorruptible seed by which of the Word of God which liveth and abideth by ever, that we are born again. And it is that word by which the gospel is preached. So that's what Peter thought about the Bible. He also believed it was a means of growth in chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If be so, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So, he saw the word as a nourishment for the soul. And again, we see Peter's concern for the heart and for the soul of the people that he's ministering unto. That they should see the scripture as nourishment for the soul, as milk for a newborn babe. To get the nourishment of life for the child of God. Now, I'm of the opinion if you're going to try to read the Bible all the way through and you don't have a plan of some sort, then you're probably not going to accomplish it. You know, just if the plan is I'm just going to read a little bit every day, start at the beginning and get to the end, that itself is a plan. And there's some discipline required just to stick to your plan and just to keep pressing on. The other side of that is you can get so ingrained into your plan that you forget what it is that you're reading. And You forget why it is that you read it. And you don't look at it as a newborn babe desiring the milk of the Word. You don't look at it as a little baby crying out. And the only thing that it wants or that will satisfy it is that milk. But that milk gives sustenance and strength and peace and rest and comfort. And so that's the way we ought to look at the Word of God. That's how Peter looked at it. That might not be a very sophisticated view. It might not be a very scholarly view. But it's the way that Peter looked at it. And I think that we ought to look at it like that. And not only just see the truth, but to be nourished by the milk of the Word. Just as humble little children, just to receive the truth. And not to argue with it or to fight with it, but to receive it and grow. In chapter 3, in verse 6, Peter starts preaching about how we ought to live in this world. And at the end of chapter 2, he talks about how you ought to live in a wicked government. In verse 14, and then how you ought to live with wicked masters in verse 18. Then he talks about how wives ought to live with their husbands in chapter 3. So he starts off with how you live in how you be a submissive Christian in a world gone bad. And so he starts with the government, and then he goes to the servants and masters. Then he goes to the home with the husbands and wives. And then he's making an application to this in verse 6. He says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So what he did here was he took a historical event from the Old Testament and just sort of looked at Abraham and Sarah as people and was just thinking about how Sarah talked to Abraham and how they lived together. Now, the point of that passage was not that Sarah called him Lord. I mean, that's not the point of Genesis 18. But Peter was just thinking about that statement. And he drew application from that. Right? So that was not the particular point of Genesis 18. But looking at Genesis 18, he drew truth from it, because that was a truth that was encapsulated in that. So Peter, this is not an allegory, and it wasn't a metaphor for anything. He was just reading it and was thinking about and saw how Sarah and Abraham treated one another. And that was a biblical truth that was drawn from that passage of Scripture. And so, and he does the same thing in 2 Peter 2. We won't turn there, but when he talks about Balaam, he does the same thing. He draws truth from application, or draws application from the truth, rather, that he sees these things. Now, he didn't build a doctrine upon that, but he said, this is what the Bible says, and as we can see, this is what Sarah did. And so even the history here is true, is my point, that he read the history of Sarah and Abraham and believed exactly what Genesis says is what happened. And so much so that he could preach a message on husbands and wives from that particular passage and tell wives to obey their husbands in that regard. Now, as a preacher, I can say that those are the kind of messages that some people don't like very much, when you say a wife has to obey her husband. And times have not changed. Times not changed. That wasn't a popular message when Peter preached it either. But Peter could confidently declare this based upon the passage in Genesis 18. Isn't that amazing that Peter had the confidence to say, wives, I'm gonna get into your family lots And I'm going to tell you how you and your husband ought to act towards one another. Now some will say, well, that's the preacher just meddling. Well, it would be meddling if it was my opinion. And Peter would be meddling in our lives if it was his opinion, or if this was just some poem or some metaphor, but it was God's word. And so he is declaring an eternal truth here. And so that's how Peter believed the Bible. He could take a truth and apply it and tell people, this is how you ought to act, because this is what the word of God says. Peter believed it was powerful. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse 3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these things might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he says that it is by God's power he's given us all these things. He's given us the truth. He's given us these great and precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature. That God is in his... when Peter read his Bible, he said, well, this is these great, exceeding great and precious promises written to me according to God's truth, in God's power, of what God has called me to and given to me, promise me. And so he goes on to say that I can take these precious promises and add to my faith virtue and continue on in the faith and persevere in the faith. Again, we see how Peter can take a passage, a doctrine, a great doctrine, and then apply it with such precision and care to our souls that there's different styles of writing. The Lord used the different writers with different styles, and it would seem that Paul will lay things out. We've been looking in Romans, 11 chapters of doctrine, and it gets chapter 12, therefore. And then you're going to have chapters of the therefore. This is how you apply that. But Peter, it would seem, sort of goes in a circle that he'll have a doctrine, then he'll apply it, and then he'll come back to the doctrine, and then he'll apply it. Just all throughout the text, he's very quick to apply these truths to us. And again, he takes these great precious promises of our salvation and applies them to us to receive comfort, and not, because they're powerful. They're not a fable like other books. Look in verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from him from excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto ye do dwell, that ye take heed unto a light that shineth in the dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecies of Scripture is any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Peter said, this is not a fable, it's not a metaphor, it's not an allegory, it's not something we made up, it's not like other fables from history. This is a historical account of what I saw and what I heard. So he's telling you the Bible is sure. He believed the Bible was sure. He said this is a more sure word of prophecy. Peter heard the Lord speak from heaven. He heard the Father speak from heaven audibly on the Mount of Transfiguration. But when he read the Bible, he said this is a more sure word of prophecy than what I heard. So he wants us to know that the Bible is sure. You can believe it. I don't like it when people cause other people to doubt their Bibles and cause them, give them reason to suspect their Bible and be suspicious of their Bible. Peter never did such a thing. He said, you have a more sure word of prophecy, and that's how we ought to believe it. Not to miscredit the Bible, or to cause doubt with the Bible, the Bibles that we have, but to believe them. And so that's how I believe the Bible, that it is to be held to and believed. It's authoritative. It came from heaven. It has a meaning. It's no private interpretation. That doesn't mean that you can't privately interpret the Scripture, but it has a meaning as what I believe that means. It's no private interpretation, meaning it's not that it means one thing to me and it means one thing to you. It means one thing. The prophecies mean one thing, and we don't get to look at it and decide what they mean, but they do mean one thing. It's not a private interpretation individually, even though we might privately interpret them. Right? I'm not the sole arbiter of what the Bible says as the pastor of the church. My task is to preach the passage of Scripture. It's your task to go home and see if I'm right. So that would be a private interpretation, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying that there's a meaning to these prophecies, and you don't get to decide what they mean. They mean what they mean. Peter also believed the Holy Spirit was the author, and that God's word was penned by men as they were moved of the Holy Spirit. Just like he said in Acts 1 when he talked to the Holy Spirit, said, referring to David. Both the Old and New Testaments, Peter believed this. So look in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse number 1 and 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And so, he goes on to talk about how those scoffers are willingly ignorant of the Word of God. But notice what he's saying is he wants them to be reminded of both the Old Testament Scriptures and what the apostles have said. Because what the apostles had spoken was the Word of God. So Peter believed the New Testament was the Word of God, just like he believed the Old Testament. And just as Jesus said that the Comforter would remembrance all the things that had happened that they might retell, and that he would guide them and give them what to say, Jesus said that this was going to happen. And as the Holy Spirit confirmed their power with those signs and wonders and miracles that they spoke, and that the apostles themselves confirmed that they believed and recognized what they wrote and what the other apostles wrote was the Word of God. They knew this. It wasn't a church council that made the Bible the Bible. It wasn't some group of people 500 years down the road that made the Bible, as some people like to imagine. They knew at this time this was the Word of God. And they treated it as such, and they believed it as such. Look in verse 16. It says, as also in all his epistles, well, verse 15, an account that is the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are that are unlearned and unstable, rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So Peter believed what Paul was writing was God's word. Now, you can read history and you can read stuff from Roman Catholicism, and they'll talk about this church council and that church council when they codified the canon and they decided what was the truth and what was not the truth and so forth. But I'm going to believe the Bible like Peter, where Peter believed that what Paul wrote was the Word of God in the Scriptures. And Paul believed what Peter wrote was the Scriptures. He believed what Luke wrote was the Scriptures. James believed what Paul wrote was the Scriptures, and so forth. They believed that God was speaking to them. They were being moved by the Holy Spirit. Because he says that Some things Paul writes are hard to be understood, but unlearned and unstable people rest them as they do other scriptures. So what's that mean? Other scriptures. That means that Paul's writings were scripture. Right? Paul's writings were on the same level as Isaiah's or David's. The epistle to the Romans is the word of God, just like Jeremiah was the word of God. And to be believed and treated as such. That's what Peter believes about Paul's writings. Peter knew that some things in the Bible are harder to understand than others. And I think it's kind of funny that Peter writes this because in 2 Peter 3, because 2 Peter 2, there's some verses in that chapter that's kind of hard to understand. 2 Peter chapter 1 is a lot easier to understand than 2 Peter chapter number 2. It doesn't mean it's impossible to understand, but it's more difficult to understand. And people rest the scriptures in chapter number 2 of 2 Peter. Especially verse number 1. So, Peter says this, but it's kind of amusing that some of his stuff is not the easiest to understand. So Peter doesn't say all scripture is equally easy to understand. He says some is harder to understand than others. But what happens, he said, is people take those hard to understand things, and those that are unlearned and unstable rest them, as they do other scriptures that are hard to understand. So that's what false teachers love to do. They love to take hard passages and make them harder and twist them and rest them to change the meaning. So what does this tell us Peter's view of the scriptures were? Well, that not knowing the scriptures is dangerous. Right? Because they're unlearned and unstable rest those hard scriptures. So Peter says, yes, there's some hard, but we need to make sure we understand them. We need to study them to make sure we know, because that's where the enemy of God will attack us and things we don't understand. So Peter says we need to study. We need to learn. And not just drink in the milk and receive comfort from that, but we got to apply ourselves to the hard things and dig down and understand these hard things. And learn what these things mean so the enemies and the adversaries won't attack us and twist the scriptures and lead us astray. Peter had confidence in the Bible. He loved the Bible. He wanted his people to read the Bible and to study the Bible and to know the Bible because there was power in the scriptures. There's truth in the scriptures. And as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we ought to believe the Bible the same way Peter did. With a love for the truth, to look for application of the scriptures, and to know the doctrine so we can be settled and not led astray. Well, it's my prayer that God would give us a desire to know the Bible and believe the Bible like the Apostle Peter.